As you know, Michigan voted to legalize recreational marijuana in 2018. But despite that, legalizing recreational marijuana by 400,000 votes, hundreds of cities, villages, townships, municipalities all around the state have said, you know what, we're not interested. We don't want, you know, weed stores. 522 at last count. Out of the 1,773 communities that would have the opportunity to do that, because the law allowed that to happen. It allowed communities to say, you know what, we're not interested. And so you wonder where this all goes. It's been kind of a bumpy road, to say the least. Not as smooth as you would think as far as rollout. Of course, the medical marijuana thing was a train wreck in Michigan. The rules were unclear. The law was not well written, and it became a problem for people time and again. Livonia, for example, voted out of this deal last fall. I'm taking a bit from a Detroit News article here. City officials did not want residents investing in marijuana businesses while the city decides on its next move, said City Attorney Paul Bernier. We thought it would be wrong to let people believe it's possible and then pull the rug out from under them. We thought it would be a better approach to maintain the status quo, to intelligently look at it and figure out what does Livonia want and what does Livonia not want. It is one of the 22 municipalities in Wayne County alone that have notified the state they will not be allowing recreational marijuana facilities in their city. A lot of phone calls pouring in from a lot of people over the last couple of years when medical marijuana came out, and now the recreational marijuana. We constantly field a lot of phone calls about what this city allows and what it doesn't. Laura Toy is the city council president. She says, a lot of confusion, as you can imagine, because as the medical marijuana law was very confusing, so is the recreational law. It's whether pharmacies will be allowed to distribute and what safety standards will be in place in the distribution process. The state's likely going to pull back on some of the things or move forward on other things. And we need to know what those are as the state comes to grips and comes to terms with the new reality, if you will. We don't want to say, hey, you can have a dispensary or you can do this and that and find out that's not true. So are those people grandfathered in? Are they not? You've got to be fair to people is what they say. Troy, another city that's having discussions about this. We don't mean to take a middle-of-the-road approach, but I don't know what else to do, said Toy. So this whole conversation creating some confusion, if you will. Creating some confusion, if you will, as to, you know, what's legal, what's not. And Livonia says, we don't want to get in the middle of it. We want to take a wait-and-see approach, I suppose. According to the Michigan Health Chief, this is from a headline out of Cranes, Detroit. Medicaid work rules will drive up uncompensated care and cost lives. People will die. Isn't it always interesting how they take the extreme position? The state's top health official predicting Thursday that Michigan's forthcoming work and employment reporting requirements for low-income adults on Medicaid will lead to more uncompensated care for hospitals and lower life expectancies. Robert Gordon, director of the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, said his agency trying to take proactive measures to educate the nearly 680,000 low-income adults in the Healthy Michigan program about the legislature's work requirements that go into effect January 1st of this coming year, 2020. It would be easy for me in my seat to say this is not our fault, it's not our problem, just let the chips fall, Gordon said. But we want to communicate exactly the opposite of that. It is our problem. It is all of our problems. We all know that without insurance, there will be more people in emergency rooms. There will be more uncompensated care cost. More importantly, there will be more people suffering and more people living less long than they should. And that's your responsibility, just so to make no mistake, it's your responsibility. How your neighbor lives and how things go, that's your responsibility. Gordon shared the stage Thursday at the MAHP conference with Anita Fox, director of the Department of Insurance and Financial Services, for a joint interview conducted by Crane's senior editor, Chad Livengood, a regular contributor to this program, who wrote this article that I'm quoting from. Fox and Gordon addressed a range of topics and issues affecting the state's health insurers and medical providers, from multi-million dollar information technology challenges at both state agencies to an ongoing study of creating a state-run reinsurance pool for high-risk, high-use medical users. Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer has opposed the Republican-controlled legislature's mandate requiring able-bodied Medicaid recipients between the ages of 18 and 62 to report at least 80 hours a month of work or job training activities to the state in order to keep their taxpayer-funded health care. There are exemptions for pregnant mothers, adults caring for other family members, and other issues as well. Meanwhile, speaking of the governor, Governor Whitmer already shot down a Republican-conceived idea of borrowing $10 billion to pump money into the state's school employees' pension fund in order to free up money for the state budget for road repairs. Now, I ask you this. We talk about road repairs a lot, but don't we have a pile of money coming in? And don't we have a pile of projects that need to be studied, engineered out, and started? The road funding money, that bucket of money isn't empty, right? My guess is that bucket isn't empty. And if the bucket isn't empty, why are we all up in arms right now? When we need to fix the damn roads, does that mean every time we need to fix the roads, it's a call, it's a cash call? Why is it always a cash call? We've got all of this money earmarked and ready. I know we don't have that many projects rolling right now. Now, we may run into a critical cash shortfall as we move forward if we don't get more money into the system. I can understand that. But right now, why all of this panic? Whitmer says she's now up to extending the final date for paying off the unfunded liability of the Michigan Public School Employees Retirement System by 5 or 10 years as part of a broader road funding plan. So we'll just extend out our debt and not, you know, more debt, taking more time to pay that debt. Not sure that's a, I'm just not sure that's a great idea either. These are tough, tough deals to come to, but I think that we have a tremendous amount of money that was put in place by Governor Snyder's administration that is not ramped up fully. We have projects that have not been designed and engineered out yet, that haven't started yet. Let's keep our eye on the prize, shall we? All right, this part of the program brought to you by MichiganConstruction.com, by the way. If you're looking for a job in construction, and there are many, go to SteveGruber.com right now. Click on the sexiest job of the week or the MichiganConstruction.com banner. The sexiest job is a hot job right now. The Michigan Construction banner can take you to all sorts of jobs and training programs, all there for you, helping you to not only build your career and your life and your future, but Michigan's as well. All good stuff. 41 after on the Steve Gruber Show.
Stock up now on all the supplements you need with huge summer savings at Wyckoff Wellness. The savings are hot in July at Wyckoff Wellness, where you can take 20% off the entire month of July, both in-store at 1226 Michigan Avenue in East Lansing or online at WyckoffWellness.com. Wyckoff Wellness sells the highest quality supplements to help with energy, focus, sleep, pain, diabetes, hypertension, bone and joint health, and detox, too. Wyckoff Wellness. Call 517-333-7270. Don't miss the Wyckoff Wellness Super July savings.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment this local guy came up to me and said, "They call the guard out for this stuff?"
He probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We're responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, "I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up."
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.